What's sarcastic about the
and we're being recorded now, so if you be sarcastic, only say things that you want recorded on the internet forever. So we're going to talk. So this is going to be mostly based on a question that Yehuda Kopperman, who is the founder of Michlala, who I quoted before as a couple of sparman shutoshal mikra, for looking at the Pashah, has a question. when Moshe goes to Korach, and he first responds to them, he says the following: Hamat mikam, is it not enough for you? Ki dilo ki Yisrael tchem medat Yisrael. That Hashem has separated you. He's talking to Korach as the leader of Levim specifically. And he's got Korach really deals with two different rebellions. There's Korach and there's Datan Avira. One is against Aaron, one's against Moshe. So Korach, the Levim argument is that why does Aaron get to be the Kohen and we just have to have the second level of status here. So was it not enough? You do that, Elokei Yisrael, Chem Medat Yisrael. Hashem has separated you from the rest of the community. Lakri Ber Chem Elav. He brought you closer to him. Lavorat Avodat Mishkan Hashem. You're going to serve in the Mishkan. Lamod Lefnei Adel Ashar Tam. You stand before the community to serve them. Leakrei Ber Chem Kol Achecha B'nei Levi Itach. And Hashem has brought you and all the other Levim, your brethren, with you. Uvigashtem Gam Kuna. And you also want to be Kohanim. Lachain, therefore, Atavachal Adatacha Hanoadim Al Hashem. And here I put the trope in there, put the Tamei Mikra in there, because I've always translated this wrong. Translate this pasuk as Lachain Atavachal Adatacha, because therefore you and all of your community, Hanoadim Al Hashem, who are assembling against God. Aaron Mahuk, Tulino Allah. And Aaron, what's he got? Why are you all complaining about him? That there's the therefore you and all your assembly who are opposing Hashem, and that's an aposiopsis. We all know what that word means, right? That's the better.
You know.
that's the expression of you better clean your room or else, where the consequence is left unsaid. We use it all the time. It's actually got a word in rhetoric there. Because that's lachain. Therefore, you and all your assembly who are opposing Hashem, with no consequence of the therefore on there, bad things will happen, right? And don't bother Hashem. But the truth is that if you look at the trump, there's a tipcha anoadim. That's a comma. It's lachain atavachol adatcha anoadim. Pause. Al Hashem is on God. So Rashi says that's what it means. It's you should know that you and all your assembly who are assembled, you are actually opposing God. You're not opposing Aaron. When you want the kuna, Aaron's got nothing to do with it. Okay. Jack Cross Lanes, he knows full well there's no adim al Hashem, not adatacha, no adim al Hashem. Right? So that's Rashi. Lachen. Because of this, that I just said that you want to be Kohanim, that therefore you and all your assembly are Al Hashem. You are fighting Hashem. Because I am acting as a servant of God. But take kuna l'Aaron. I gave the kuna to Aaron. And you're not really arguing with us. You're arguing against God. So the Sforno actually has a subtly different translation. He agrees that it's l'chein atavo t'chol datacha hanoadim kama al Hashem, but the al Hashem is the future. Therefore, you and your assembly were assembling, that is all al Hashem, that's all in God's hands. That's the Sforno, l'chein atavo t'chol datacha, ani omer l'chem, and therefore I say to you, all your people, al Hashem, this is God's problem. Do you should know? Shani mashlich al Hashem Yahavi. I am casting my burden upon God, which is a wonderful quote from Tehillim here in Source 4. Mashlich al Hashem Yahavcha. Go cast your burden upon God. He will support you. God will never let the righteous slip or fall. So Moshe is telling Korach that I am giving the problem to God. I'm not going to deal with this. Yitvahu el banenu. He will deal with this insult to us. Lo akrimim ani alechem klal, and I am not going to judge you at all. I don't want to get involved in this machloket. You want to argue with God. Similarly, when he goes to Datan and Aviram and tries to argue with them, he says something similar. He says, Vayishlach Moshe lekol Datan v'Aviram b'nei Eliab, and Moshe sends to call Datan and Aviram, who are also rebelling against him. And Rashi says about that, verse 6, Mikanch ein machzikin b'machloket. He didn't want to perpetuate the argument. He wanted to make peace with them. He wants to hear what they have to say. Moshe doesn't want to argue. That's the beginning of the parsha. Three psukim later, Moshe's attitude changes completely. This is Rav Kuberman's problem. Right? At that point, Pasuk Tet Vav, Moshe was very angry. Moshe is furious. He tells Hashem, don't turn toward their offering. I didn't take a single donkey from them. I didn't do anything wrong to any of them. All of a sudden, he's mad. And as his forno says, I'm not forgiving the insult. Before, it's all, it's not my problem. Let God deal with it. I'm going to forgive right now. And at this point, in this pasuk, it's vayichar ma'od. God, don't pay attention to them. Something has happened. Clearly, it's got to be something in those intervening two psukim.
That's what it's going now.
What is it? Where it was in those psukim? Those two psukim were Datan Aviram's response. Moshe sends for them, and they say vayimru lo na'le, and they say no, we're not going to go up. Was it not enough that you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey? Talking about Egypt. That you're going to kill us in the wilderness. Remember, this is the parsha right after the Meraglim, and they've been sentenced to 40 years wandering, and they're all going to die. They've all been told that. Because you want to judge, you want to rule over us. And you're not bringing us to a land flowing with milk and honey. And you're giving us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Do you think you're blinding all of us? Lo na'aleh, we're not going up there. We're not going to you. So something about that got Moshe so angry. It changes his whole approach. It's not, I'm not getting involved in machloket. It's now you are all rejected. You can answer a lot of different ways. Rav Kuberman offers two different explanations. I'm going to look at the second one. He's looking at the pasuk there. Batiten lanu nachalat sadeva kerem. And you have given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. So Rashi reads that, because obviously they're saying that you have not given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. You're complaining. We're stuck here in the wilderness. Rashi says that really there's an aflo. It's aflo eleretz zavat chaldevash. You have not brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and you have not given us a nachala, an inheritance of fields and vineyards. That's Rashi, but Titan Lenu, a Dabar Musab al Lo. Right? There's an extra, you pretend the Lo continues on, Amor Lamala, that continues on from the beginning of the Pasuk. Klomar, meaning, Lo Haviyotanu, you haven't brought us into land, but Lo Natata Lenu, you haven't given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards.
You know how else it works is if you link it to the end of the pasuk and it's a question, part of the question, are all the people blind? Did you give us something with a kerem?
Yes.
Are so all the specifically people blind?
Says that, but says it's they're being sarcastic.
But that's a question. The kerem is a good thing. Is that
a good thing? It's like, yeah, look at this wonderful land of fields and vineyards looking around at the desert. Look, I've got a new harvest of sand and rocks.
That's right.
And he's being specifically sarcastic. Look at what we've got over here. You've given us this. You've told us you're giving us this. That's the far term. Remember last week's parsha, right after the Meraglim, we have all the laws of coming into Eretz Yisrael. About Chala and Truma and giving a Min Mincha and all that. And Rashi says that's good news, right? Moshe's promising they'll still go into the land. Sort of says that they interpret it as negative. Like, you're talking to us. But nachlat zebekem. It's as though you've given us this inheritance, right? You're telling us all these laws about what we're supposed to do with our fields and our vineyards. You're telling us all the mitzvot that we're not going to do in the land. You can't take payah, and you can't take the leanings of your vineyard. Like it's there here. And you say, yeah, look at us. I'm gonna give truma from my harvest of here, have some sand. That's what he looks at that. And as he looks at that, the mocking is what's in that sentence there. And the Ramban says that's the real problem with Datin Aviva. They were mocking, they were making fun. They're being sarcastic. Not that we're ever sarcastic, right? Jews don't do that. Right, this is Ramban, similarly. That Datan Aviram were far more guilty than Korach in the beginning of the parasha. Shayu, that's quoting from Devar Yamim, Malibim Malchel Kim. They were insulting the messengers of God, Ubozim Devarav, and mocking his words, Mitatim Benevav, and making fun of his Neviyah. It's a sarcasm. That's what Rav Kupferman says. That's what changed in Moshe's attitude toward them. And I'm going to now go into dealing with this problem of being sarcastic from an essay by Rabbi Yisachar Friend, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva at Ner Yisrael. He's a wonderful speaker. I used to go to him all the time. And this is from a book called Listen to Your Messages from Art Scroll. And I encourage everybody to go out and get that book.
Hopefully that one's not out of stock.
Oh, that's right. We keep looking for stuff to learn with Leia, and they're always out of stock. And Art School is having a sale now, 20% off.
Did you know? Oh, Art School, not the bookstore. Okay.
I don't get a cut of that, so I'm not actually advertising for that. But this is from Fred. So he first quotes the Masil Yesharim. Ramchal says, "Blitzanut echad, one joke." One sarcastic comment, a little joke, Yapil Adam Me'alav will topple over a person, will bring a person down, Ribui Godel Mitarut Mitpalut, will destroy his entire inspiration and his enthusiasm, Masha Leib Mitarer Bafalel, one's heart is inspired, is awakened, and enthusiastic to get something done, Batsmo Mide Rato Shemea Inyanim. And then from, because you've learned something, you've seen something, you heard something, and you're ready to go and do the right thing. You're going to become, you're going to think about what you're doing, you're going to do something good. But one sarcastic comment, yapil akol ha'aretz, everything gets knocked down to the ground. One joke. Lo yaseh barosh em klal, and then all that inspiration won't make an impression at all. And not because of some logical argument that the issue is not as important as you thought it was. Not because you understand what's going on. Because the power of sarcasm is its ability to destroy any sort of rebuke, any sort of lesson. And our friend offers a mashal, which I would read as a mashal. I don't know how it's literally true, but this was, I like the story here, that recently, he writes in 1997, entrepreneurs in Texas have begun raising emus. I hope they replace beef in the American diet. I don't think emus are kosher, but it's low in cholesterol, high in protein. There's such a promising industry that a pair of breeding emus sold for $45,000. And Honda was producing commercials for the Accord. And one of the commercials was a young man faced with career choices, and it showed all sorts of career choices that you could make. But when it comes to choosing an automobile, the only choice was the Honda Accord. That was the ad. So the commercial mockingly portrayed one loser profession after another. One of those was emu farming.
Why?
Imagine some people think emu meat would replace beef. Only Hicks from Texas, the commercial implied, that's a ridiculous idea. Commercial was not intended as an attack on the fledgling emu industry. Believe it or not, commercial destroyed the emu farming industry. Within a short time, the pair of breeding emus was selling for only $500. So one line of beetle, as he says, a put down can wipe out years of effort. Which is why we love sarcasm. Okay, it goes way back. Torah Tanakh is full of Jews being sarcastic. Right. Leah DeVita, you know my favorite example of that. It's on silent. Okay. that's from Bnei Yisrael. They've left Egypt. They're standing by the edge of the Yam Suf. The Egyptians are coming, and they start complaining. Right? Meru Moshe, source 15. And they tell Moshe, "Habibli in kvarim Mitzrayim." What, you didn't have enough graves in Egypt? I mean, they sound Jewish when they say that. I mean, it's just hear it there, right? This is Larry David saying that. What, you couldn't find any graves in Egypt? Look, Akhtanul Mugle Bar, you gotta kick us out to die in the wilderness? Mazor Asita Lanim, Lahotziyam Mitzrayim. What are you doing taking us out of Egypt there? Those kind of comments. And I'm as guilty as everyone, and I like to justify it saying it's all self-deprecating when I'm being sarcastic and making snide little comments about things.
You never do that.
Thank you. Leah's learned well. But my kids always give me muster when I think I'm going too far. Leora's not listening. She's usually the one who's much serious.
Oh, sorry. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. So he's just an example of sarcastic.
Sarcasm? Hey, Tony, you're being sarcastic?
He's too young
to be sarcastic. He doesn't.
Yeah, 2-year-olds are all scary. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, he's like a literalist. You say, what's going on? And he looks at the light.
Oh, because the light is going on. Yes.
Literal.
Very good. Okay. And I mean, it's so ingrained. I mean, we have our greatest Nevi'im get sarcastic. This is Eliyahu, Har Carmel. Contest with the priest of Baal. Vahid Bitzarayim, and the story, right? Eliyahu set up this contest. He's got one altar, the Baal priests have another altar, and whoever gets the altar to light their God, obviously is a real God, and the priest of Baal are praying and cutting themselves and shrieking out, and it was already noon, and Eliyahu starts mocking them. And he says, Kiruba kol gadol, you need to shout louder. Ki Elohim hu, because Baal is a God, but he's talking to somebody else. You need to get his attention. Right? Or he's walking somewhere, he's off walking somewhere, shout louder. Maybe he's asleep. And you have to wake him up. Okay, he's getting sarcastic with Livyei Baal. And the reason why is because it's not a bad thing. It's a very powerful weapon. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which evidently, Jack, is what you appreciate, right? We've got to get a move away from Tanakh and deal with real learning. Amar Rav Nachman, kol leitzenuta isura, that all mocking, all sarcasm is forbidden, chutz mitzenuta devora kochavim. Okay, except you can make fun of idol worship. The Sharia, now that's okay. And they're going to give example, not from Eliyahu, but from Yeshaya. We're going to make fun of idols, where Yeshaya says, karah bel, karas nevo, that bel, which was the Moabite term for Baal, and Nevo, which is another one of their gods, that bell is kneeling down. Nevo is stooped over. Karsova Karo, they're stooped over. They're kneeling. Yachda, both together. Lo yachlu milet masa, because they can't hold back their poop, as us pediatricians say. They're obviously all a gastrointestinal problem. That's Yeshaya about the Avodah Zarah. So the way Rabbi Friend continues on is that this cynicism, sarcasm, making fun of things never goes away, even though it can be so destructive. Of course, we're supposed to use it. We can lock Lashon Hara away in the forbidden zone because we are never allowed to speak Lashon Hara. We can lock dishonesty away in a forbidden zone because we're never allowed to lie. We can lock flattery away because it's always forbidden. We cannot do the same thing for cynicism. We cannot say never be a cynic. It's simply not true. From time to time, you have to be a cynic. But once you've let the genie out of the bottle, though, it's hard to push it back in. And we get in the habit of it. And the way Rav Huttner and Pachad Yitzchak puts it, Malo Baror Hur, it is clear that Heter Zeh Shel Litzanut, that when we're allowed to be, translating Litzanut as cynical, as sarcastic rather, Leimor B'chol Pratot Shel Tzadra, you can use it for anything that's bad. You want to fight something, you can use your power of sarcasm. V'adei Mutar L'Hitlo Tzitz Mikol Mashu Shor. You can do that for anything that's wrong. For any kind of sin. It's not just Avodah Zarah. And then he goes into why it's specifically mentioned by Avodah Zarah. We understand. The definition of sarcasm is destroying the concept, idea of things being important. You think that's important, I'm going to make fun of it, and no one's going to respect it anymore. That's how you destroy things. It's a nutstam. He hamtsaat zilzul the shame ribui zilzva olam. Normal sarcasm is creating disparaging, insulting for the sake of insulting. It's a nutet devarazara, but if I'm doing it for devarazara, he matzeit zilzul the shame ribui chashibut. It's in order to disparage something that's wrong in order to increase the things that are important. And I tell my teenage patients this all the time, I tell their parents this, that rolling your eyes is a superpower. That's important, okay? Yeah, the parents don't like it when the kids are rolling their eyes at them, but being able to say whatever, peer pressure, all the influences out there, that's huge. If you can do that as a teenager, then you will survive, you'll make your choices. So never get upset with your kids when they're rolling their eyes at you. They're just practicing for dealing with the outside world. I do tell the same teenagers that, even though you're rolling your eyes now, in 10 years, you'll realize that your mom was always... I always appreciate that one. But you're not going to know it now. Right now, you got your own opinion, and and your parents know nothing. But in 10 years, it'll be amazing how much they've learned. That's Mark Twain. That's not my joke.
Yeah.
Okay, but the hard part is realizing that sarcasm is a weapon, it's not a tool. It's just destructive. You're not gonna build anything by making your sarcastic comment. It's a way of saying that I'm not dealing with what you're saying, the discussion has no validity, I'm not interested in hearing what you're saying at all. That's what happens when you're sarcastic with somebody else. And sometimes that's necessary, right? We're not debating Avodah Zarah, we're rejecting it. And that's what the late Sanut is useful for. It's never a good thing. That's a bad habit. And that's, Rav Kuberman says, that's what got Moshe so upset. They start out. Korach comes to Moshe and says, we want to be in war involved in the Avodah Hashem, right? Kol haydav kulum kudashim, Chom Hashem, right? God's among all of us. If that's what they mean, Moshe's all for it. Parsha Balotcha, Moshe says explicitly, if only all the people were prophets, Hashem would recall him that Hashem could give his spirit to all of them. That's wonderful. Moshe is all in favor of that, and he wants to talk to Korach and okay, let's figure this out. You want to get more involved, we'll do something here. That's wonderful. That's not an insult. Since Datan Aviram, you want to get more involved, that's great. As soon as Datan Aviram respond with a sarcasm, then it's clear this is an attack, it's not a dialogue. So,
where is that pasuk from?
Which one?
Mi tein kol am.
This is from Parsha Balotcha, when Moshe complains that he can't do this himself, and then Hashem says, "Go gather 70 elders," and then two of them stay behind. Eldad and Medad stay behind, and they still get this spirit of Hashem. They still start prophesying back in the camp, and Yeshua says, "You need to punish them." because they're not with you here. They're doing their own thing. Emotional response says, why are you jealous for me? I would be overjoyed if everybody could be a Navi.
Maybe he's being sarcastic.
I suppose that's possible, but I don't think it reads that way at all, especially since Yeshua says parts of me, he's disagreeing with it, Yeshua on that.
Okay.
Yes, you're far too negative about Moshe's personality. Right. I don't think you can read that in context. I think he's. Okay. I think Moshe is serious. Yeah. Moshe would be overjoyed. That gets right into the Moshe Anavi. Right. Moshe doesn't think that he's.
Okay, you heard.
I'm sure what Eitan is saying is more profound than I'm saying, but I just can't understand that.
He wants to take it back on. It means he wants to put it back on.
Oh, okay.
We're just mixing up our verbs.
Okay. So, Repatcha Korach. We always have to quote the Mishnah Pirkei Avot, right? Kol machloket shehi l'shem shamayim, sofal hikayim. Any argument that's for the sake of heaven will last. Sheino l'shem shamayim ein sofal hikayim. For the sake of heaven, it will not last. What's in our disagreement that's not that is for the sake of heaven? It's not the same for the sake of heaven. That's Korach and his assembly. No, everyone has comments. What does it mean to have a machloket that is so far lehikayem? Why would I want a disagreement to last forever? And the general understanding is that it means that it will have an outcome that has some meaning that will last forever. And usually, what does L'shem Shamayim mean, though? So L'shem Shamayim usually means for the sake of God, for the sake of what's right. I have good intentions. Bartanura says no. L'shem Shamayim here means for the sake of the truth. This is the Bartanura on that. Mishnah, but machloket shi L'shem Shamayim. Any disagreement that is for L'shem Shamayim, meaning hataklit basof hamubukash. That the outcome, the desired ending of this is a machloket from this disagreement, lasigemet, to understand what's true. We disagree with each other, or we may get intense and start yelling at each other because we know we're right, but our goal is to find the truth, which means that I'm willing to accept that you're right, you're willing to accept that I'm right, I'm gonna listen to what you have to say. Zemekayem, that's what's gonna last forever. Both sides will last forever. Kamosha. I'm sure that was from the debate, we will discover the truth between us there. That's machlok l'shem shamayim. Machlok l'shem l'shem shamayim is where you're looking not for the truth, but for victory. I just want to win. That's in a machlok where you're going to use weapons, not tools. Machlok l'shem shamayim is where you're looking to determine the truth and listening to your opponent. Listening, understand, reading the things that your people you disagree with say is an important part of that. And that's the tell. You know, like you play poker. There's a tell to know whether, in your mind, is your arguing the same Shemayim or not? Are you looking for the truth or are you looking to attack? And the way to tell that is the Leit Zanut. If you're using sarcasm, then you're not disagreeing. You're not. It's not a dialogue. You're just attacking. And then you can decide. It's necessary to attack. That this is a battle. This is not something. I'm not looking for truth with this other person. I'm looking to destroy them. And that may be necessary sometimes. But don't lie to yourself about what's happening here. And so that Moshe looks at what's happening and realizes that Korach and Kol Adato are not looking for Shem Shammai. They're not trying to get closer to the truth. They're trying to get closer to God here. They're just trying to attack him. And that's the point where he gets upset. And starts fighting back. So, sarcasm is important. Know how to use it, but realize that it's like bringing a machine gun to a high school debate.
Danny.
Yeah.
Bringing a machine gun to a high school debate.
I just want to bring something up about Korach, but Aviva Zornberg always talks about the idea that despite the fact the earth swallowed them up, so obviously they lost the argument. But nevertheless, their children, you know, are quoted in Tehillim. So they couldn't have been all bad, I guess.
They did teshuva.
So, I mean, I've done other shiurim defending Korach and defending the Tanya of Aviram, that yes, they could have been right if they had been actually working. If it had been a machloket b'shem shamayim, it could have been that way. Mm. It became clear they weren't. So, you know, Shmuel Hanavi is the one of Korach's descendants.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did you okay, know? And he very much is the one who goes back and says "Bukol hay da kulam kedoshim," and sort of pulls the service of Hashem away from the Kohanim. He's the Navi of the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. He was one who points out that anybody can bring a carbon and sort of becomes his replacement. And he's very much the person that Korach should have been.
Oh, nice.
Okay, and the same thing with the Tanya of Aviram. If you look back the way the Midrash puts it, that Aviram were the some of the Shotrim who were beaten in Egyptian slavery. You know, they cared about the people. They really did. But they turned that into an attack rather than a dialogue. And that's why they were destroyed. They weren't completely wrong. I mean, what they said was completely wrong, but they were wrong.
Understand.
That's a subtlety.
Thank you, Danny.
To circle back to the beginning, do you sense sarcasm in them referring to Mitzrayim?
Yes, very much so. In retrospect, yes.
Right?
The fact that they're using that term, the Moshe is saying, coming to Eretz Ladon, land of Chaval Devash, and now they're saying, you brought us out of this Chaval Devash, and you're not bringing us to it. Yeah. We were better off in Egypt the whole time. They're definitely mocking what Moshe
is saying. I'm going to get hurt. Wait. No, if we're better.
Okay.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. A little mister.
Stop recording.